ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, we will be speaking on the glories of Srila Ishwarapuri today. Srila Ishwarapuri, as we know, is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. When Krishna comes, he also accepts a spiritual master. Just to explain to us the importance of accepting a spiritual master. That what to speak of us, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes, he submits to the authority of the spiritual master and get disciplined as a disciple. He came when, as Krishna, he took initiation from Sandipani Muni. He accepted him as the spiritual master, and when he came as Lord Chaitanya, he accepted initiation from Ishwarapuri. And therefore, they are not ordinary devotees. But when you look at the qualifications of Ishwarapuri, it was not that he was very much accomplished in terms of achievements, but in terms of his consciousness, he was very, very elevated. He was always in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. And that consciousness, that mood, attracted the Supreme Personality of Godhead so much that he wanted to come and take initiation from him. So we'll discuss the glories of Srila Ishwarapuri today. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshtarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, "All glories to Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all Krishna Prema. He is a desire tree of bhakti, and it is to him that the seed of bhakti first fructified. The seed of Krishna Prema next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwarapuri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of bhakti." So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami starts from Madhavendra Puri, who is the disciple, who is the spiritual master of Ishwarapuri. And Ishwar Puri was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Here it says, Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all Krishna Prema, he is a desire tree of bhakti, and it is to him that the seed of bhakti first fructified. So this may be a little confusing. How did the seed of bhakti first fructify for Madhavendra Puri? Srila Madhavendra Puri, before that, he is in the disciplic succession. Madhavendra Puri had his spiritual master, who had his spiritual master, and there was a whole Madhva Sampradaya, and before that, Vyasadeva, and all of those great stalwart devotees, ignoring all of them, why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that the seed of bhakti first fructified with Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri? That's because Madhavendra Puri was the first personality to whom the understanding of Krishna Prema, the love of God in the Gopi Bhav, was revealed. Before that, no one had access to Madhurya Rasa. Because before that it was coming from the Madhva Sampradaya, after Madhvacharya and all of that. And Madhavendra Puri had taken initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya. That's why it's called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. From Madhavendra Puri and Lord Chaitanya onwards, it started revealing different rasas than what the Madhva Sampradaya gives. Madhva Sampradaya, we know in Udipi, there is a mat, and they worship the Bal Gopal form of Krishna. They are in the Vatsalya Ras. But the Madhurya Ras was first revealed to Madhavendra Puri in this particular millennium. And then Madhavendra Puri transmitted it to Srila Ishwara Puri. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the gardener, who was the one who put the seed in Madhavendra Puri's heart and who fructified it in Srila Ishwara Puri, he became the main trunk of this tree of bhakti. So Srila Ishwara Puri was specifically chosen. He was a resident of Kumarahatta. And he appeared in a Brahmin family and was a very beloved disciple of Sri Ishwara Puri. At the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri, who is the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, he became invalid and was completely unable to move. And Ishwara Puri very completely engaged himself in the service of Madhavendra Puri, so much so that Ishwara Puri personally cleaned up his stool and urine. Ishwara Puri would always chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in front of Madhavendra Puri, reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life. And Ishwara Puri served him the best amongst all his disciples. So Madhavendra Puri was very, very pleased with Ishwara Puri and blessed him. May you have Krishna Prema. This is the best blessing that we can receive from our spiritual master. That's what they are eager to give. They are always willing to bless. Srila Prabhupada is wanting us to get Krishna Prema. He is giving it to us. All we have to do is just accept it. Because of the mercy of Madhavendra Puri, because Ishwara Puri so humbly served Madhavendra Puri with so much dedication, selflessly, that was the reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose him to be his spiritual master. A good guru is one who is a good disciple. Srila Prabhupada, in the commentary to this particular verse, which talks about Srila Ishwara Puri serving Madhavendra Puri, when Madhavendra Puri became sort of invalid, Prabhupada says, it is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnava is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. So here, Prabhupada is saying in the purport that a devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if the spiritual master becomes invalid or something happens to him, we should not think, oh, why this happened? It must be because of some sinful reaction. It must be because of this. It must be because of that. Prabhupada says our consciousness should be, this is a chance for his disciples to serve him. Ishwara Puri, he begged his spiritual master. He pleased his spiritual master by service. And that's why he became such a great personality, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted him as a spiritual master. Ishwara Puri, he would stay in Navadvip Dham in the house of Gopinath Acharya. He lived for a few months there. At that time, he did meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was Nimai Pandit and requested him to help him with his book, Krishna Lilamrita. That time he was Nimai Pandit. He was not really wanting to, he was into spiritual life so much. But this was before initiation. Ishwara Puri in Navadvip gave Nimai Pandit his book, Krishna Lilamrita, to edit. And Nimai Pandit, he read the book and he was very pleased with the devotion of Ishwara Puri and highly praised the book and said, well, this book is faultless. Nimai Pandit saying this book is faultless is the highest compliment a scholar can get. And Ishwara Puri was not even a scholar in that sense of the word. But Nimai Pandit is the one who actually found faults in the disciple of Saraswati Devi. And when he came, this Digvijay Pandit came, and Nimai Pandit found faults in him. He was blessed. Digvijay Pandit was blessed by Saraswati Devi herself. That nothing, no one can find a mistake, but Nimai Pandit did. That same Nimai Pandit says this book is faultless. Still, Ishwara Puri said, no, please, please look again, there must be something. And so when he was pressed like that, Lord Chaitanya made some corrections with his own lotus hands. It's very elaborately described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now, Ishwara Puri, when he was in Navadvip Dham, he was overwhelmed with the ecstasy of Krishna Rasa. And yet he was very humble because he was very dear to Krishna. He did not want to attract any attention to himself as a great devotee. And he hid his real identity, that he was Ishwara Puri, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who pleased his spiritual master, because his fame went far and wide. He hid himself, he disguised himself and went to the house of Advaita Acharya. He found that Advaita Acharya was busy in service to the Lord in the temple. So he came in, sat down, but the power of a great Vaishnava is never hidden from another great Vaishnava. Again and again, Advaita Acharya kept looking away from his duties in the direction of Ishwara Puri and finally asked him, my dear sir, who are you? Because Ishwara Puri had such effulgence and such grandeur around him that even though he was disguised, Advaita Acharya could feel that spiritual energy emanating from him. And Ishwarapuri introduced himself to Advaita Acharya. My dear sir, I am a Shudra of the lowest class. Just then Mukunda Datta entered the temple of Advaita Acharya. And Mukunda Datta, seeing Ishwarapuri, immediately recognized, he's a Vaishnava sannyasi. And Mukunda Datta began very sweetly to perform Kirtan of Krishna Leela. And when Mukunda Datta performs his kirtans, who can not be moved? So completely engrossed in the kirtan of Mukunda Datta, Ishwarapuri lost his composure. He fainted on the ground in deep ecstasy. Tears of ecstasy rained from his eyes, and all the assembled devotees, they were dumbstruck. What just happened? Look at this. Such display of transcendental emotion. And when their power of speech returned, because they were completely thawed, they all remarked, never have we seen such a Vaishnava. Sri Advaita Acharya began to experience grave symptoms of transcendental emotion himself, seeing the same emotions in Sri Ishwarapuri. And then everyone concluded, this visitor is none other than the dearmost disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He is Sri Ishwarapuri. And they joyously began chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hari Hari, over and over again. So Sri Ishwarapuri, like this, he stayed in Navadvip for a while. One day, the footpath near where he stayed was blessed by the divine footsteps of Sri Gaurasundar Nimai Pandit. Mahaprabhu was going home from school. And when Sri Ishwarapuri saw Nimai Pandit, he was amazed by his perfect body and such grave disposition. The love of God within his heart started to speak. He wanted to somehow make some contact with the Lord. So he called out, Oh, best of Brahmins, what's your name? Where is your house? And what is that book that you're reading? Sri Nimai Pandit, with great humility, offered his obeisances humbly to Sri Ishwarapuri. And there were some disciples of Nimai Pandit along with him. And they said, meaning disciples, meaning the students, who Nimai Pandit was teaching. He said, his name is Nimai Pandit. And Ishwarapuri was surprised. You are the Nimai Pandit? Ishwarapuri was so happy. I've heard so much about you. And although Nimai Pandit at that time was not displaying his devotional pastime, he still with great humility bowed down his head and he said, Shripad Ishwarapuri, please have mercy upon me and kindly grace my house. I want your company. Please, can you come this afternoon? This afternoon itself we will prepare prasad for your pleasure. Please accept it. Ishwarapuri gladly accepted the invitation and went to the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Nimai Pandit. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally washed the lotus feet of Ishwarapuri with his own hands. This is all, remember, before he accepted Ishwarapuri as the spiritual master in Bodh Gaya. When he went to Gaya, that's when he accepted. But this pastime happened before then. And Sachi Devi in Navadvip Dham quickly prepared various wonderful preparations, offered them to the deity. And after it was offered to Ishwarapuri, Mahaprabhu accepted. Then Nimai Pandit and Ishwarapuri entered the temple of Vishnu. They discussed Krishna Katha with each other at great length. And this is where Nimai Pandit revealed Krishna Prema. in his heart. For 1 month, Sri Ishwarapuri stayed in Navadvip at the house of Sri Gopinath Acharya, and Nimai Pandit would constantly invite Ishwarapuri to visit him. And from time to time, Ishwarapuri would also invite Nimai Pandit Mahaprabhu to visit him. At this time, Gadadhar, Gaura Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit, who is Gadadhar Pandit, who is one of the Panchatattva, was a young boy at that time. And Sri Ishwarapuri was very affectionate to Gadadhar Pandit. He would read to Gadadhar Pandit from the book that Ishwarapuri had written. What was that book? The same book that Nimai Pandit had edited, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. And he would read to Gadadhar from Krishna Lilamrita. And every day around sunrise, Sri Mahaprabhu would come and offer his obeisances to Sri Ishwarapuri. One day when Mahaprabhu came, Ishwarapuri told Nimai Pandit, "You are the topmost of pandits, and I'm writing a book about Krishna's pastimes. Please help me edit it. Whatever is the faults you may find, please tell me. This will give me great pleasure." Sri Nimai Pandit, he smiled, he said, "You are a devotee of Krishna, and the words of Krishna's devotees are as good as Krishna himself. In fact, they are the same category as Krishna is. They are from Krishna's alphabet, not from any material alphabet. Such words are not mundane, but one who finds fault with Krishna or his devotees is a great sinner. When a devotee writes, a bhakta writes something, it's not just poetry. It is completely different. It is perfect because it is dear to Krishna. So there is no need for editing. Similarly, we should understand Srila Prabhupada's books are transcendental. And even though there may be some faults in terms of English or in terms of editing or anything of that sort that people may try to find, but there is nothing in there. That there's no fault in that because it's dear to Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to a journalist, and this journalist was asking, how do you get the inspiration to write so many books? Because Srila Prabhupada has written, by then he had written 30-40 books, and in the literary world, even to publish one book is a great accomplishment. We see today's authors, they publish one book, two books, and that's it. They cannot do any more. It's a work of a lifetime. Prabhupada, 30 books by then. And then such deep philosophical books like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then many other books to explain that. The Krishna book. It's mind-boggling to write books, just to sit and write while managing all these things. It's so difficult. While writing, our mind starts giving us so many different kinds of thoughts. And to choose one particular thought that we will write so that people will be taking it as law book of mankind for the next 10,000 years. Such responsibility. And the journalist asked, what is your inspiration? How do you write so many books? And Srila Prabhupada said, "I did not write these books." And the journalist immediately became interested. "Oh, there you go, I got a controversy. Really, you didn't write these books. Then who wrote this for you?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Krishna personally inspired me to write these books. And the journalist was confused. What? So one of the devotees who was standing next to Srila Prabhupada tried to explain, no, Srila Prabhupada means that, you know, Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna is the source of the intelligence and the mind, and through that intelligence and mind, Krishna inspired Srila Prabhupada to write all these things. And Srila Prabhupada, he became grave. He looked at that devotee and he said, no, Krishna personally dictated these books to me. Otherwise, if you see, it's impossible to write such perfect book. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would read his own books, and devotees would say, Prabhupada, you are reading your own book. You have written it. You know that, right? And Prabhupada said, yeah. I know that Krishna has made me write this book. Krishna has dictated. And while I'm reading, I'm getting so many realizations from this book. This was the humility of Srila Prabhupada. He truly considered himself as just an instrument. While writing the book, he would enter into that state of consciousness of just being an instrument. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tadvag visargo janatagha viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhavatyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitani yach shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. On the other hand, that literature, which is full with descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a transcendental creation meant to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. This is exactly what Nimai Pandit meant when he told Srila Ishwarapuri, your book is perfect. Because such transcendental literatures, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, says, I must admit my frailties in presenting Srimad Bhagavatam, but still I am hopeful of its good reception by the thinkers and leaders of society on the strength of the following verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is so humble. He would read his own books, so how much more we should read Srila Prabhupada's books? He's setting his own example. And when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, it gives us so much hope and vigor and so much inspiration to continue our reading, continue our spiritual life. If we stop reading, our chanting will be affected. If we stop chanting, our reading will be affected. We should chant and read. Hearing and chanting should go hand in hand. Both of them should be together. If we are feeling bored reading Srila Prabhupada's books, then let's find a buddy, find a partner with whom you can read. Within your family you can read, or with some devotee. You can read one paragraph, the other devotee can summarize it, the other devotee can read the other paragraph, you can summarize it. And in this way we can share the realizations while we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books. When devotees would go distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, he would ask, have you read them? And they would say, no. Prabhupada would say, I have written these books for my devotees, not just for distributing it. So anyway, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also glorified the book Shri Krishna Lilamrita. He said, because the prayers of love of Krishna by a devotee have nothing to do with the rules of grammar. Different kinds of rules apply there. The rules of love apply, which does not look, grammar is very, very small compared to them. Krishna is only interested in the love in such prayers, not in how they are constructed and how poetic they are. One who looks for faults in the words of a devotee will never be pleasing to Krishna. And Nimai Pandit refused to edit Ishwarapuri's book. And Ishwarapuri at that time could understand that Nimai Pandit is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Person. After a few days, Ishwarapuri left Navadvip to continue visiting other holy places of pilgrimage. And then Nimai Pandit's pastimes of scholarship after some time reached their completion, and the Lord wanted to manifest His divinity, His Sankirtan movement. He wanted to reveal Himself and distribute the nectar of the holy name of Krishna and inundate the entire world in Krishna Prema. So he went to Gaya to offer oblation to his ancestors when his father left this world, Jagannath Mishra. At that time, Sri Ishwarapuri was also in Gaya. When Mahaprabhu had finished his offering to his ancestors in Gaya, after staying in for some time, he went to complete his worship of the lotus feet of Vishnu. There's a wonderful temple of the lotus feet of Vishnu in Gaya. When he went there, when he had darshan of the holy feet, he began to drown in ecstasy of love of Godhead. And just then, Ishwarapuri arrived at that temple. And he became speechless, seeing Sri Gaurasundar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone into his internal consciousness at that time when Ishwarapuri saw him. After some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his external consciousness and saw Ishwarapuri nearby. He at once arose and offered his humble obeisances. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ishwarapuri, they embraced each other. They were drowning each other in the ocean of tears. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Now my visit to Gaya has really been fruitful. Because by coming here, I've had the chance to see your lotus feet." I came here to offer Pinda to my ancestors. But one who automatically sees you, automatically he gets delivered. He delivers millions of ancestors just by your darshan. And they will not only be free from sins, but they will also get eternal deliverance. And so, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have become perfect because I have seen you." And he said that the saintly person is the real Tirtha, or the holy place, because he sanctifies the holy places by his very presence. When we go to the holy places, we should seek out the association of advanced devotees there. That is the main purpose of going to the holy place. Not just sightseeing or tourism. That's what is most important. So hearing this from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwarapuri said, "Well, Nimai Pandit, by seeing your learning, by seeing your character, I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, I had a very beautiful dream today. In my dream, I saw there were many people. Their hands were full with fruit. And that fruit is the fruit of love of God. I have to admit and reveal to you something, that since I saw you in Navadvip Dham, from that time on, I could not think of anything and anyone else except you. How much ever I tried, I have not been able to take my mind off of you. After a few days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Ishwarapuri, and asked for his mercy to initiate him in the Gayatri Mantra. Ishwarapuri said, "For the want of Gayatri Mantra, my mind is very much disturbed." Sorry, Nimai Pandit Prabhu said. Mahaprabhu said. And Ishwarapuri initiated Sri Gaurasundar in the mantra. And Ishwarapuri said, "Nimai Pandit, I actually want to give you, I'm giving you this mantra, I'm giving you this words in your ears, but actually I want to give my life to you." This is a spiritual master telling a disciple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I wish to give you everything I have," because he understood, even though he is doing it as a service to initiate him, actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One day, Ishwarapuri came to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gaya. And upon seeing him, Lord Chaitanya became very ecstatic. He offered his obeisances. And Ishwarapuri said, "I would consider myself very fortunate to accept some rice from your lotus hand." So Mahaprabhu cooked with his own hands, and with very great care he fed Ishwarapuri. And after lunch, the Lord smeared sandalwood pulp over the limbs of Ishwarapuri and offered him a nice garland of flowers. And in this way he explained by his own example how we should properly worship the Guru, how to serve the Guru Parampara. Because one who does not understand how to honor a saintly person can never attain Krishna Prema Bhakti. The gateway to Krishna Bhakti is service to the lotus feet of the Guru. So after that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, and we all know how he, from then on, he started displaying the ecstatic symptoms of love of God, and how he came to Kanhai Natashala, which is on the border of Bengal and Bihar. And in Kanhai Natashala, he had the darshan of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna disappeared. And then this mood of separation was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he would always look for Krishna everywhere. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip from Gaya, he passed through a place called Kumarahatta, which was the birthplace of Sri Ishwarapuri. And upon arriving there, he became filled with divine love and his voice choked up. He soaked the entire earth with the tears of love from his eyes. Before he left Kumarahatta, he went to the place of Ishwarapuri's birth. He took some dust from his birth site, and as he left for Navadvip, he announced, "This dust is my life and soul." So even the birthplace of the spiritual master is considered to be a holy place. So for all of us in ISKCON, Kolkata is a very holy place, because Srila Prabhupada was there. And if our guru is born in some western city, that's a holy place. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed, Kumarahatta, the birthplace of Ishwarapuri, This dust is my life and soul. What does it mean to take the dust of the dust of that place? It means dust is signifies that the feet has come on that particular dust. So serving the dust meaning serving the feet, serving the feet meaning serving the instructions of the Lord, of the spiritual master. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri on the order of his mother. And around that time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Sri Ishwara Puri had finished his role in the Lord's manifest pastimes. And at the time of his passing, Srila Ishwara Puri ordered his two disciples, Govinda Pandit and Kashishwar Pandit, to live near Mahaprabhu and render service to him. So it was Mahaprabhu's godbrothers. It's like our spiritual master asking our godbrothers to serve such and such devotee. That was the love of Ishwara Puri with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has written, the best of sannyasis, Madhavendra Puri, had as his foremost disciples Ishwara Puri, Nityananda, and the great Advaita Acharya. Meaning Ishwara Puri was the godbrother of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a disciple of Ishwara Puri. But he would, and therefore he would consider Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya as his, as good as his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, in order to honor Sri Ishwara Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the guru of the whole world, accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Ishwara Puri ki jai. So we'll end here, the glories of Ishwara Puri. If we have any questions or comments, we can take now.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very nicely he have related all these incidents, very, very exciting. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I don't
know. Krishna.
This is
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanwad Pranam, Om Vashishtha.
Dhanwad Pranam.
Prabhuji, like as you said, Srila Prabhupada said that I have not written the sutra, Krishna has written. So I met one time one Christian lady and I showed her Bhagavad Gita and she was asking me, can you show me where is the, is there anywhere written in this book that God inspired me to write this book? So I don't know which shloka or what to show her or something.
That God inspired me to write this book? I mean, which book were you showing?
Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita was this. Bhagavad Gita itself is written by God Himself. It's not God inspired. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Himself speaking. And
yeah.
He says that I have given this knowledge to so many different people. In the fourth chapter, he says that Ikshvaku and Manu and all these people, I have given this knowledge before, and now I'm giving it to you, Arjuna. The same knowledge. I'm not sure if I understood your question, because Bhagavad Gita is written by God Himself. It says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, and it was spoken by Krishna Himself, and it was recorded by Vyasadev as it was being spoken to Dhritarashtra by Sanjay, and Vyasadeva was given the same chakshu, and he recorded it.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavas, this is Damodar Ananda Das. What Mataji is trying to say is the translation of the purports. That's written by Srila Prabhupada. Other authors have also written. I used to read Bhagavad Gita from Gita Press. Their purports and the translation, Prabhupada's translation is true to the bhakti. You know, in every chapter, he keeps a focus on bhakti, whereas other translators and people writing commentary, they put it in a different way. So that's what I think what Mataji is trying to say, and some people say that.
Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Is that what you are asking, Mataji? The purports and the translations?
Yes, Prabhuji. I mean, right now, what we say, like Srila Prabhupada always say, and Srila Prabhupada himself read his books. So, and because Krishna has written those books, so that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, so that we accept on Srila Prabhupada's authority for devotees. But for devotees, we should understand, we have faith in Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna has dictated, we accept it. But for others who do not have faith in Srila Prabhupada, and if they ask, well, these purports and all that, how do you think, why do you say they are authentic? To them, we tell them about the parampara, the guru parampara, that Srila Prabhupada, in page number 32 of Bhagavad Gita, if you see Bhagavad Gita as it is, he gives the entire list of the parampara of, and Srila Prabhupada is the 32nd acharya in that whole parampara. And Krishna in the fourth chapter says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. So we show them that verse saying that this knowledge comes through the parampara from God. It starts and comes in a disciplic succession. And look, this is the disciplic succession. And Srila Prabhupada is in that disciplic succession. Therefore, he is authorized to write these commentary. Now, if someone else shows you a commentary of Bhagavad Gita by someone else, you say, show me the disciplic succession. What is your authority? So people who don't have faith in Srila Prabhupada as the acharya, we tell them about the authority of the disciplic succession. But you and me, we have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that Krishna has written this. We accept it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandakunam. Thank you for a wonderful ecstatic lecture. Prabhuji, one question. Mahaprabhu doesn't need any instructions, but is there any specific instruction from Ishwar Puri, you know, as Guru Maharaj, that Mahaprabhu has executed as his Guru's instruction in his movement, Prabhuji? Like, any references?
Yes, yes. That's a very good question. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya and he came to Navadvip, he would just simply chant Hare Krishna and would just think about Krishna, talk about Krishna. Even when he had to resume his duties in his classes and as Nimai Pandit, but it was a different Nimai Pandit at that time, and he would even teach grammar with Krishna in them. So he would say K for Krishna and something like that, different names of Krishna he would say with each alphabet while teaching. Different rules of grammar also. So everyone was like, what is this? You're just saying everything about Krishna. You're just chanting Hare Krishna. And you are such a great scholar. Why do you have to chant Hare Krishna? So he said, well, my spiritual master said that there is no use. You're very dumb. And you cannot understand the Vedic literatures, you do not have the intelligence, Just chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you'll be happy. And so that's why I've been chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And since I have started chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra following the instruction of my spiritual master, I have been in ecstasy. I've become like a madman. So this was the instruction of Ishwara Puri, as told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, that just chant Hare Krishna. And that's what Srila Prabhupada also does, said the same thing, chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Yeah, this proves that instruction is coming all across Parampara, and you know, it's very nice to hear, Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisance.
Krishna.
So, you mentioned Madhavapuri was fructified by the Krishna Prema first time. So, who gave those knowledge? Is it directly coming from Krishna to Madhavapuri, or how did that happen? Hare Krishna. Is it from another guru or...
Madhavendra Puri took initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya. And in the Madhva Sampradaya, they only reveal until the Vatsalya Ras. But Madhavendra, it was divinely inspired to Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was chosen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to first be the first person in our Sampradaya to experience the Madhurya Ras. In this particular millennium, in this parampara. So, that was divinely inspired by Krishna himself, and it was part of a plan so that Madhavendra Puri, then Ishwara Puri, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come in that parampara and then continue. Because Krishna wants to give credit to his devotees. It's, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself could have come and be the first person to talk about the Madhurya Rasa. But he wants his devotees to be able to do that. So there is a whole pastime of Madhavendra Puri. Sometime we can, just like we discussed about the life of glories of Ishwara Puri, we can also discuss the glories of Madhavendra Puri and all the things that he was, when he was in Vrindavan, how Gopal came to him. And Sri Nadji deity that we know in Nathdwara was originally in Vrindavan, and it was discovered by Madhavendra Puri. And how Madhavendra Puri went to different places in the east to get all the sandalwood, and on the way he went to Ramuna, and Kshirachor Gopinath deity stole the kheer for Madhavendra Puri. And all this wonderful pastimes of Madhavendra Puri we can hear. But he was a very pure and great soul, and that's why he was the first one to whom it was revealed, the Madhurya Ras, first time. Otherwise, in other sampradayas, the Madhurya Ras is not so much revealed. The intimate dealings between Radha and Krishna and things like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare
Krishna.
Yes.
Go ahead,
Prabhu. Sorry, Mataji, I asked one question, so please go ahead. Ask next time.
No, Prabhuji. Adjit, Adhivit Chandra Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Dev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for nectar in class.
Yes, Madhuri. Thank you. Do you have any question?
No, I am missing Kalasuta Mataji's Sridham Vrindavan Dham Saturday class.
Okay. Very well. Yes, Madhuri.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So, my other question is there any instance that Mahaprabhu has met Ishwar Puri after initiation or during the moment his Guru Maharaj or any such association incidents?
I don't think so. I don't remember any such incident. He met before initiation and he met during initiation. And after that, of course, Ishwara Puri would know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would, and that's why he engaged his two disciples to serve him in Jagannath Puri. In fact, he then took sannyas. He took first and second initiation from Ishwara Puri and sannyas initiation from Keshav Bharti. And this is the relationship between guru and disciple. It is not constrained by the distance. Nowadays we think, oh, I want a guru who is always with me, who you know, who's very accessible and all that. But throughout our sampradaya, it was you know, guru, the relationship between guru and disciple was through the local devotees and through the Paramatma within the heart. Sometimes we feel our guru may not know what I am doing, because I never meet him. But if we are doing anything sincerely, the Paramatma is noticing that, and the Paramatma would reveal to the guru as much as Paramatma wants the guru to know. So the relationship between guru and disciple is through the Paramatma within the heart, because guru is the external representation of the Paramatma. Many times it has happened that devotees of Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, have said that I saw Srila Prabhupada just once, just during initiation. And then next time when Prabhupada would come, he would ask me about my specific service, meaning Prabhupada somehow knew that this devotee was doing this service. And they were amazed. How is it possible that Prabhupada knows that I'm doing this service? Because the spiritual advancement is actually within the heart, given by the Paramatma. And if we are performing some service, thinking about our spiritual master with the consciousness that I'm doing this to please my spiritual master, I'm doing my deity worship to please my spiritual master, I'm performing the service to devotees because my Guru Maharaj will be happy and the devotees will be happy, then when we perform our services with this consciousness, then the Paramatma within the heart is watching. And he's pleased. Oh, this devotee, he is doing it to please his guru. So nice. My devotee, he's doing this to please my devotee. Okay, I will give him spiritual advancement. That's the process. It doesn't have to include the spiritual master knowing everything about the disciple. But yeah, I mean, I understand that is not your question. And your question was, did he meet ever after initiation? I do not know of any instance. I don't think so. But if anyone else knows any instance, they can say. But to my opinion, it is not. He did not meet. But just the fact that he did not meet does not matter. Even Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master 3 times in his entire life. And 3 to 4 times, but whatever times he met, he completely followed the instruction that he was told. And in fact, it is said that the personal association of spiritual master is only useful to the extent, is only valid to the extent that it helps us in following his instruction. If by personally being with spiritual master helps us follow his instruction, then it's good. Otherwise, it is only sense gratification. So, Prabhupada was told, Prabhupada, you come after so long to our community and we are not very close to you. So, what can we do? So Srila Prabhupada was in his Vyasasan and there was a mosquito on Srila Prabhupada's hand. Srila Prabhupada showed everyone that mosquito and said, look, this mosquito is closest to me, to my body right now. And he's, but what is he doing? He's just sucking my blood. So it doesn't matter how physically close we are to the spiritual master. It matters, even though physically we may not be, but spiritually, in our intentions, how close we are to the spiritual master, that's what matters. And so physically he may not have met his spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may not have, but he was spiritually always with his spiritual master. Never did he lose his association. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Thank you so much, Prabhu. This understanding itself serves as an instruction. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Tanvir Pranam. Beautiful lecture. And I really like the part when you mentioned about the Madhvendrapuri. He is the where the seed was sown for the Madhurya Ras, which many of us are not aware of. At least I wasn't. Then one question, towards the last part of your lecture, you did mention that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him, even Advaita Acharya was as good as a spiritual master. So could you explain a little bit about it, or at least I missed out the reason why?
No, because Madhavendra Puri had several disciples, and one of his disciples of Madhavendra Puri was Ishwar Puri. Another disciple was Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Advaita Acharya was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri.
Okay.
So in that sense, Ishwar Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, they were all God brothers.
Okay.
So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a disciple of Ishwar Puri.
Yeah.
So he would consider them as good as their spiritual master. Although Advaita Acharya would worship Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and would not like to be respected by Lord Chaitanya like that, but still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would maintain that etiquette.
And where does Mukunda Pandit, where does he lie in this? Was he a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhuji? How does it work?
Mukunda Datta. Yeah, Mukunda Datta was one of the devotees who was there. I'm not sure about his whose disciple he was, but Mukunda Datta was one of the devotees who would sing very sweet kirtan.
Yeah.
And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his pastimes, Mukunda Datta would be one of the lead singers. In fact, he would lead kirtan even before. Even, you know, he was more of a disciple of Advaita Acharya, Mukunda Datta. Because before Sri Chaitanya, in Navadvip, all Vaishnavas were disciples of Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya was the leader of the Vaishnavas in Navadvip Dham.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Your lectures are really wonderful, as always. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare.
I was wondering about this Lord Nityananda being disciple of Madhavendra Puri. I was thinking that I thought I heard that technically they were, let me see. I don't know if I'm mixing up the names, but I was thinking that technically they were actually godbrothers or something. That he had such reverence for Madhavendra Puri that he considered him to be like his spiritual master. That Nityananda's spiritual master was the same as Madhavendra Puri's, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, but some people say he was initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha.
Yes, that's the person that I was thinking, had in mind, yes.
Yes, so this is spoken, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 8, verse 128, says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a grihastha named Sri Vishwambhara, was initiated by a sannyasi guru named Ishwarapuri. Similarly, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, a sannyasi. According to others, however, he was initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha. Advaita Acharya, although a grihastha, was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, and many devotees born in caste Brahmana families were initiated by Sri Chaitanya, Sri Rasikananda, although Rasikananda was not born in a Brahmana family. So this is just this is what Srila Prabhupada has to say, basically, that he, according to Prabhupada, he says Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, but Prabhupada also says, according to others, he was initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha, but he would have considered Madhavendra Puri as his Shiksha Guru. So whether he considered Madhavendra Puri as Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, in either case, he was a guru of Nityananda Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see, our parampara line is more of a Shiksha line than of a more than a Diksha line.
Yes. Yes.
You know, our disciplic succession gives more importance to who we take Shiksha from than who we take Diksha from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or whoever it is the person feels most inspired by.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada is also not giving a conclusive statement, but he did say Sri Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. According to others, however, he was initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha, but he didn't say whether he agrees with those others' opinions or not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, anyway, the most important thing is who a disciple feels they get the most inspiration in the instructions from. You know, I mean, say in our line, it just so happens that it was primarily through Shiksha Gurus, but if it's Diksha Guru, then Diksha Guru.
Right. Mostly Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru are the same person.
But, yeah.
You know, sometimes they are different, and at that time Diksha Guru gives the authority to the Shiksha Guru.
Mm-hmm. And that purport you read from again, it was Madhya Leela 8.128, right?
Yes, 8.128, yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
The purport, Prabhupada says that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. One last question.
Yes, Prabhu.
Look, actually, the Panchatattva Mantra, we have all from five people, right? Like Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. What is the common thread connecting all these five, Prabhu? Like, maybe not connected to the topic, but it did not include Ishwar Puri or Madhavendra Puri. Or maybe there is another mantra. So just wanted to know about mostly towards Panchatattva.
Yes, there is a verse called Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam, where it says, that these five panchatattva is our I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, bhakta rupa swarupakam, who is non-different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So these five are manifestations of these five energies of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee himself. Then we see that devotee is Sri Gadadhar Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit is the devotee. He is the incarnation of Narad Muni. Then comes Bhaktavataram, devotional incarnation. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Then Bhaktakhyam, meaning manifestation, that is Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu and Sankarshan combined. So he, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya are Vishnu Tattvas, are incarnations of Vishnu Tattvas. But Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Thakur, they are devotee and devotional energy, because Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Radharani, and Srivas Pandit is a pure devotee. So this is the common thread. This particular verse explains that common thread, that when Krishna comes, he does not come alone. He comes with his devotees, his devotional energy, and things like that. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhaktavataram, Bhaktakhyam, and Bhakta Shaktikam.
Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So if your question was why not Ishwara Puri and Madhavendra Puri included in the Panchatattva, or why are they, what's the difference? This is the difference.
Got it, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat. This is Damodar Das again.
Hare Krishna.
So Prabhuji, thank you very much for your once more very scholarly lecture. And also, I like, we have to follow the Shiksha, the cyclic succession, then Diksha, because we got confused who's initial devotee and what. But sometimes, probably, some preachers, they give lectures and they confuse some of the things. Like, I'll give you two instances that we heard personally. One was that, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got his initiation, his Guru Maharaj did not give him Mahamantra as the Diksha Mantra. So, that's putting down the importance of Mahamantra for some new devotees, or you don't hear the full details. And the second thing was that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the first and second initiation from Ishwara Puri, but he took his sannyas initiation from Keshav Bhatta, who was actually, some people call it Mayavadi. So how do you reconcile these statements to the devotees who are not very much connected?
Right. Yeah, well, according to Lord Chaitanya, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra was revealed to him by Sri Ishwara Puri. And he said that he always, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would very proudly say that my Guru Maharaj told me that I am a fool, and therefore just chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, you will not understand the Vedic literatures. So from that point of view, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra was revealed to him by by Srila Ishwarapuri himself. Although he did give him the Gayatri Mantra also, but also the Hare Krishna Mantra. The second one is he took sannyas in the Keshav Bharti Sampradaya with Keshav Bharti Goswami in the Bharati Sampradaya, because the primary, you know, in Vaishnava understanding, actually, there is no sannyas in one sense. And at that time, sannyas was only given in the Mayavadi sampradayas. Otherwise, others were just happy just being a devotee. And but the primary reason for Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas was to preach, and the whole point was many people, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching even before taking sannyas, and he would do his kirtans, he would tell everyone to chant and go and do all these things. In fact, that's when he delivered Jagai Madhai also. And but he saw that in general, people would not respect him and his instructions and his followers, because at that time people were saying, "Oh, who are these new, you know, Vaishnava Sanya people who ask us to chant Hare Krishna? Why should we chant Hare Krishna? We have Kali, we have this, and why should we even listen to them? They are not sannyasis." So at that time, the sannyasis were given utmost respect in society. Just like today we have, you know, big professors and stuff like that. If some big scientist says something, then everyone just takes it as a gospel truth. That was the position of sannyasis in the society at that time. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I have to really spread this movement, I must take sannyas so that people will be receptive to what I'm trying to say. And it will give some respect to the movement. But at that time, sannyas was given only in the Mayavadi Sampradaya. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so be it, so what? He took sannyas. His purpose of sannyas was not sannyas, and his purpose was preaching, so that people can get, so that the people respect him and take his instructions seriously. So that was the reason he took sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya, for the purpose of preaching. And but when he went to Varanasi, which was the hub of all the Mayavadi sannyasis, he would just chant and dance, and all the other Mayavadi sannyasis were like, this person is taking our reputation down, because as sannyasis we are supposed to be grave, and he's from the Bharati Sampradaya, we are from the Saraswati Sampradaya, and why is he doing like this? And then they invited him for a debate. And seeing his humility and his scholarship in Vedic understanding, all thousands of sannyasi disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati in Varanasi immediately got converted. In fact, Prakashananda Saraswati also surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, his purpose was preaching and not sannyas in itself. So, just like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, for example, he went and started taking degree in religious studies during the last days of his life, last few years of his life. And, people were like confused. Why is he going back to the university? He's a sannyasi. Why is he going back to the university? Because Tamal Krishna Maharaj understood that the literary world of scholarship, Srila Prabhupada's books were not really given much respect. So I have to go back to the university, get my credibility, and if as a PhD in religion, if I say Srila Prabhupada's books, look, this is the book, this tells this, and this is the basic understanding, then the scholarly world will listen to me. So although it seems unconventional, but for the purpose of preaching, it makes full sense. Similarly, a Vaishnava taking sannyas at that time seemed unconventional from the society standards. But for the purpose of preaching, one has to do that.
Excellent, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. If I had this knowledge, I would have counteracted that person saying these things. And thank you very much for mentioning Kamal Krishna Maharaj for what he was doing, because what my thought was that I mentioned you to you last time was on the same lines. So thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Just one small request, if possible, in one of the next four coming lectures, whenever you find it convenient, if you could talk about the glories of Madhavendra Puri, that would be highly appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, next time we can speak on glories of Madhavendra Puri. Although I'm going in alphabetical orders, so we are at I right now. We started from A, we are at I. But if there is a special request for next week, we can skip the order, go to M, and then restart from the week after.
Whatever is fine, Prabhuji, convenient. Thank you.
Okay. All right, if there are no other questions, we can end here. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.
Anant Koti Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Hare Krishna.